forgotten that you are faced with circumstances you can get through. Right now it seems there's no way out, you're going under. But God's proven time and time again, He'll take care of you, and He'll do it again. He'll do it again. If you just take a look at where you are now and where you've been, hasn't He always come through for you? He's the same now as then. You may not know how, you may not know when, but He'll do it again. God knows the things you're going through. He knows how you're hurting. You see, God knows just how your heart's been broken in two. But He's the God of the seas, the stars and the moon, and He is your Father. He can calm the storm. He has a way to fix this for you, and He'll do it again. He'll do it again. If you just take a look at where you are now and where you've been, hasn't He always come through for you? He's the same now as then. You may not know how, you may not know when, but He'll do it again. You may not know how, you may not know when, you may not know. But I know my God, He will do it again.
Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Miss Swinton. He'll do it again. Sometimes I wonder how. Sometimes I wonder when. But He never fails. He never fails. Open your Bible tonight to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. My wife asked me on the way to church, said, "Honey, are you going to preach a Valentine's message? Are you going to preach on love?" And I said, "Well, honey, I'd like to speak on a subject I know about." And she agreed. So for her tonight, I'm going to preach on the subject, God is love and much more. God is love and much more. I want to finish the message we started 2 weeks ago on the words much more used in Romans chapter 5. Stand, if you will, and we shall begin to read in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto His grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, the death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more by the grace of God and the free gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it were, or it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men, to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men and justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Heavenly Father, help me tonight as I finish this message to be a blessing to your people who came out on Wednesday night. Thank you for the desire of your people to know you and to know more about you. The closer we walk in our relationship with Christ, the more we truly desire to know you, and to get personal with you, and to enjoy your fellowship. Now, Father, I need your help tonight. Would you fill me with thy Spirit and speak through me that people might go home tonight understanding that Jesus not only saved us, but much more. And we'll ask in Jesus' name for your help and for you to open the hearts of your people that we might hear with our ears, receive with our heart, and learn to love and appreciate you that much more. In Christ's name, amen. You may be seated. Now, for two Wednesday nights, we had young people up here, and if you'll remember, we put one over here, and that was one young person. And then we had two young people standing here, and we told you that was more young people, more than one. And then we had a group of young people over here, and we looked at the one and said that was one. This is more, but this is much more. Now, God wants us to understand that getting saved is more than just having our sins forgiven. It's much more. It's more than just going to heaven and escaping hell. It's much more. It affects not only our eternal destiny, but it affects our daily walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in the previous 2 weeks, we talked to you about two other much mores that are stated here in this chapter. For instance, in the first message, we pointed out in verse number 9 that God said, much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. So the first much more was the much more of justification. Justification declares our righteous standing in the sight of God through the death, the atoning death of Jesus Christ. But it does that and much more. And I'm just going to give you the points quickly by way of review so we can get into the message tonight. Number one, in justification, we have the remission of the penalty that is against us as sinners, and much more. With a sinner's justification, our condemnation is gone, Romans 8:1. Much more, with justification, there is peace with God, Romans 5:1. With justification comes restored favor with God, 1 Corinthians 1:30. Also, with justification, we receive the imputed righteousness of Christ, Romans 4, verse 5 and 6. Another much more of justification is heirship. And now we're no longer strangers, but we're sons. We're a part of the family of God, Titus 3:7. Because of justification, the believer is assured of his deliverance from the coming wrath of God. And what I believe that means is not just hell. I believe it means tribulation also. The believer will be delivered. The child of God today will be delivered from the wrath of God that's going to fall on this old world during the tribulation. And will be delivered from hell. Much more, God's justification of the saved sinner assures him of a glorified body when Christ returns, Romans 8:30. All of these are things the Scripture points out that are associated with our justification. Then in our second message, we preach from verse number 10. It says, for if then we were enemies, or when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So, God's salvation provides reconciliation and much more. And just some thoughts there quickly as we move on to our message. Both reconciliation and atonement, I told you, comes from the same root word. Atonement and reconciliation. Atonement pays the price for our sin so that satisfaction is acquired. We're no longer enemies. They're brothers. Atonement is the cause, and reconciliation is the effect, and much more. And then we told you, because of the sinner's reconciliation to God and God's reconciliation to the saved sinner, our fear of facing God in our condemned state is gone, knowing God is satisfied with the payment of our sin debt. Of Isaiah 53:11, He saw the travail of Jesus' soul and was satisfied. What was Jesus doing? He was dying in order to pay our sin debt, to atone for our sin, to provide justification and reconciliation. Remember the illustration that reconciliation is Jesus on the cross, taking the hand of a guilty sinner and taking the hand of a holy God and bringing sinner and God together in His death, reconciliation. So, God is satisfied with the payment for our sin debt, and our condemnation because of being sinners is gone. Then we talked about the fruit of reconciliation and atonement is forgiveness of all our sins. Forgiven, blotted out, never to be remembered again. Romans chapter 3, verse 25. Then much more, being because of reconciliation, we enter into a new relationship with God, no longer enemies, no longer afar off, no longer aliens to the commonwealth of Israel, but sons of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And then that's Romans 5:10, Ephesians 2:13. Then we told you also that much more because of reconciliation, we have access to God through the living Christ. Access to God through the living Christ. The Bible says in verse number 10, it says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by His death, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." The Lord Jesus Christ lives today and is at the right hand of the Father as our intercessor. Our prayers go from our lips through Jesus Christ to the Father. He is our intercessor. He is our advocate. He is our defense, if you please. He pleads the blood over us and our sins and our failures. And because of the living Christ, we have access to God, and we can claim verses like Hebrews 4:16. Come boldly before the throne of grace that you might find grace and mercy to help in our time of need. So the much more of reconciliation. And then to conclude the message, I want us to look at the third much more. It's mentioned three different times in this chapter. It's the much more of the grace of God. The much more of the grace of God. Look at verse number 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Now, the grace of God is defined as the unmerited favor of God toward sinful man. The grace of God makes it possible for any sinner to be saved by faith through the meritorious work of Jesus dying on the cross for sinners. Jesus, the grace of God, makes it possible that undeserving sinners like me and you can be forgiven. We can be saved. We can be given eternal life. We can become heirs to God and joint heirs with Jesus because of the grace of God. Now, I want you to consider some much mores of the grace of God. Man's sin closed the door to God. When Adam sinned, it separated him from God, and he and Eve went hiding from God in the garden. But God's grace did not just open the door to God, it took it off the hinges and made it available for any sinner to approach God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. We don't have to clean up. We don't have to get good. We don't have to get educated. All we've got to do is understand that we're sinners, we're lost, we're without hope, and our only hope of salvation is through Jesus Christ. We can approach Him by simple faith and ask Him. And He's promised that all who come unto Him, He'll not cast one out. Much more of the grace of God. Let me give you one of the simple much mores of God's grace that provides salvation. Look at verse number 14. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Now what's that talking about? Death reigned over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come. Let me tell you what it's talking about. The only people that has not sinned after the similitude of Adam are little babies. Little babies. Little babies, they don't make a choice. They don't have the understanding and the comprehension to make a choice. But little babies die because of sin. Go out to the cemetery, and every cemetery I've ever been to has areas dedicated to little babies. that die at birth or die shortly after. I have a brother that died at birth. What about that baby? If death is the result of Adam's sin being passed down through the fathers to the children, what about that baby? That little baby's never sinned like Adam. Adam saw Eve sin. He took the apple. He willfully sinned. Little babies haven't willfully sinned. Never. They don't have the faculty, the ability to make a choice. Even so, there are some who are mentally handicapped and they stay like a little child all their life and they're never able to make decisions of right and wrong. But they die too. They die too because of the penalty of sin. And God said, hey, it wouldn't be fair for me to provide salvation just for those that can believe. How about those that don't have the capacity to believe? Those that have never sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. Little babies who will be the figure of Jesus when He comes into this world. At the incarnation, a little baby. He said, my son's death on the cross is not going to only provide salvation for those that believe, but those that don't have the ability to believe. They're under the penalty, and because of the grace of God, much more they'll be under the grace of God and the preservation of God through Jesus Christ. What a gift of God's grace. What a gift of God's grace. You don't hear much preaching about that, do you? But that's one of the much mores of the grace of God. It takes salvation off the hinges. Thank God I didn't have to go through a probationary period. I didn't have to learn all the doctrines. I didn't have to do a bunch of questions and answers. I just knew I was going to hell. And I believe Jesus died for my sin. As a teenage boy that didn't know much of anything, I knew I was lost. And I believe Jesus was God's Son and He died for my sins. And best I knew how, I asked Him to save me that night. And the much more of God's grace reached down to me and brought me into the family of God, justified, reconciled, and much more a child of God from that day forward. It was God's grace that provided the way for sinners to be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. It was God's grace that opened a way for the saved to approach God in prayer and find our needs, our needed help. Listen to it. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of what? Grace. God calls the prayer altar a throne of grace. You know, we approach God on the merits of God's grace through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Oh, my soul. Every time I get down and cry out to God, I'm enjoying one of the much mores of God's grace that makes it possible for hell-deserving sinners to be forgiven, washed clean, declared righteous in our heavenly standing, have His imputed righteousness put to our account, made a child of God, and our spiritual big brother is standing at the right hand of our spiritual father, saying, you can come boldly to the throne of grace and find mercy and grace to help in your time of need. That's what you're singing about tonight, Emery. The grace of God and much more. Much more. Not only that, but Much more, God's grace has made a way for us to bear our burdens and suffer through our sufferings. The grace of God has made it possible for us to bear our burdens and suffer through our sufferings. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to begin to read in verse number 7. Turn there and follow with me. Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above all measure." Now, I don't know what that thorn in the flesh was, but I know that it was a burden that Paul had to carry. Whether it was a sickness, it was affliction, or what it was, we don't know. But we do know that it was a messenger of Satan allowed of God to buffet Paul to keep his feet down on planet Earth until God was ready to promote him to glory. See, here's what happened. God gave him a glimpse of heaven. When they stoned him and left him for dead at Lystra, he said, "I knew a man, whether in the spirit or out of the spirit, or in the body or out of the body, I know not." He said, "I don't know whether he's dead or alive." Talk about himself. He was caught up into the third heaven. And he said, "What I saw is not even lawful for me to talk to you about. It was so marvelous. It was so wonderful. It was so stupendous. It was so magnanimous that it was beyond anything you could and I could comprehend." And Paul got to see it. And God said, "I'm going to send you back down there because I'm not through with you." And he said, "But to keep you humble and keep your feet on the ground, I'm going to give you a thorn of the flesh. I'm going to give you a burden you're going to have to bear. It's Satan's thorn that'll buffet you. If you realize that you're still here, you've got a job to do." And it must have been a heavy burden. It must have been terrible suffering. I don't know what it was. But he said, "For this thing," verse 8, "I sought the Lord thrice," three times, "that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." What makes that possible? God said, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My grace is sufficient for thee." Now, grace made it possible that the hell-deserving Saul could get saved. Grace made it possible that God called him to be a special servant. And grace made it possible for Paul to bear the burdens and the persecutions and the heartaches and the sufferings he went through in his life to preach the gospel. And I've said all of that to say to you tonight that God has manifest His grace toward us unto salvation and much more. Much more. And that grace makes it possible for us to face our burdens and our sufferings and live victoriously for Jesus Christ. It sure would help us if we'd learned to major on God's grace instead of our problems. And then much more, the grace of God makes it possible for the Christian to live his life in the perfect will of God, no matter what it may be. 1 Corinthians 15:10 says, "But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." What made it possible for Paul to be the great Christian servant he was? The grace of God made it possible for Paul to walk in the perfect will of God for his life. You say, but preacher, it's different now than it was then. Oh, it's so dark and it's so wicked and it is so terrible. The public schools and the workplace and the television and the internet and all of the filth and immorality and ungodliness that's all around us. How are we going to serve our God in such a day? Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Yes, it may be dark. Yes, it may be sinful. Yes, it may be wicked around you. But God's grace and the much more of God's grace is abounding toward you and toward me to make it possible for us to serve God faithfully in this old wicked world. I thank God for His free salvation and the much mores of justification, reconciliation, and God's amazing grace He has for us. Only a sinner saved by grace can claim these much mores of God. Father, thank You for this simple little study we've gone through over 3 weeks' time, and the much more that You have for Your children. Let us never get used to it. Let us never get over it. Help us never to take it for granted. Oh, what a wonderful Savior.